This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks to Thrive Market for supporting The Morning Stream. Thrive Market is an online membership-based market on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. Join today at thrivemarket.com/TMS to get 40% off your first order and a free gift. Coming up on TMS,
I don't like prison jujubes.
Where's Harvey's Duds?
The Daily Taco News Show.
Thirsty sword lesbians.
Guilty dog ain't got no rhythm.
A traditional pocket man.
Endangered dog food sharks.
Russ Cosmos on center stage.
Buy a pair of fries.
I hate it, but it's a limited time offer.
The United Colors of Peloton.
Thumbnail, but no further.
In space, no one can hear you scream, but they can smell you.
Lengthy, obscure Berlin Wall jokes.
15-inch pens with Bobby.
Dirty, crusty squirrels with Bill, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's a quiet Sunday afternoon in Gotham City. The police state that the recent wave of crime has been brought under control. Now, this may be so, but somehow I believe that it's just the calm before the storm.
You wouldn't be able to go fishing tomorrow. Or ever.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Always check your candy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett right there. Hi, Brian.
Hey, hey. Happy Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, everybody. Not quite hump day, but your pants are coming off. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Yeah.
So there's a thing.
It's in preparation for hump day? Is that the deal? Your pants come off on Tuesday in preparation?
Yeah, and then on Thursday, you put them on again, you know?
Put them back on.
Yeah, you put them back
on.
Money
on the dresser.
After hump day. Hey, I don't know if this is a problem for you or not, but this morning, normally the dog's in her kennel all night. My dog, Rainer, and the other one for sure, the big one. But my dog's usually in there. But sometimes we forget she'll still sleep in her kennel, but the door will be open. Now, this morning, at about 7, I hear her tick, 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 walking around. Uh-huh. And I went, oh, we forgot to lock her in. No big deal. Oh, she sounds like she just got up. I'll go take her out. So I go to take her out, open the door, and she immediately runs back into her kennel. Something she is not prone to do if she's spent all night in the kennel.
That sounds like a guilt move.
Uh-huh. So now, I'm walking around like I'm checking for landmines all day. Trying to find out where maybe there might be a little wet pee-pee spot somewhere in the house.
Uh-huh.
Not liking and that. I don't like that. Not at all. Anyway.
But didn't find anything?
No, not yet. I did a cursory check, and so far so good. But I still say it was real fishy. I think she's up to some no good.
Yeah, you got to turn on the black light and look around.
Oh, I don't even dare, because then I'm going to find something from 6 months ago. You know what I mean?
That's right. It's going to be like, oh, my God, what am I in a Renaissance Inn? What is this? Is this a Motel 6 or my house?
I'm worried about it. I'm nervous. But we'll see how it goes. Anyway.
Renaissance Inn. Residence Inn, I think, is what I was thinking of.
Oh, well, Renaissance sounded right. I mean, I didn't object. I think it sounds okay.
You know, the Renaissance Inn.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
where you spend a lot of nights.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Where you
with
where,
a K. There we go.
A lot of dark nights with a K. All right. So, hey, Brian, I meant to ask you this before you left, and I totally forgot.
Yeah.
You did grab that Pokemon Arceus or Arceus or how do you say it?
Oh, it is Arceus. I'm glad. Or Arceus. Arceus. Yeah, it is a hard C. Boy, it's a hard C.
Yeah,
like thanks to the Pokemon news, world news update thing that they released last week, a little over a week ago. It is indeed pronounced Arceus. I did pick it up for the Switch, and I am friggin' hooked. I am deep in. This thing is, so it's you know how in earlier Pokemon games, there's a, all right, you're going to this town, and you've got to go around and catch some Pokemon, but then you got to battle the gym leader in this town, and then you move on to the next town, and you go and you find some Pokemon, and then you battle the gym leader, and blah, blah, blah. This is more of a hub and spoke than a path. You have a central village that you're that you'll constantly keep reporting back to, and you go out into these little different wild areas to go hunt your Pokemon and open up bases, like almost like World of Warcraft, when you're like, oh, I've completed all the quests in this little area, and it turned into an outpost where I can refresh and rest my Pokemon and buy things and that sort of thing.
Sounds like a like an open world sort of a little bit.
Open way more version. Open world and, yeah. And you know, not as linear. Yeah, you can take it linearly and do like, all right, I'm doing this one, I'm doing this quest, I'm doing this quest. But I'm kind of having a good time like just trying to fill out all the pages. The Pokedex has more of a set of tasks per Pokemon than just catch them all, catch one of each kind of thing.
Right.
It's like, all right, well, for this, for Rosalia, you've got to catch 12 and fight with one of them and evolve one and feed four of them a berry, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And the more of those, you know, as soon as you get 10 things completed, you've completed that character, completed that Pokemon.
Interesting. So the fighting is still turn-based, but you can there are no random battles, right? You don't just bump into something and go...
You basically see them, and if they don't see you, you can just throw a ball at them and catch them without even a battle, which is great.
Yeah.
But if they see you, then it's like, all right, throw in my Bibbly or whatever it is and catch that... Ursa ring or whatever.
Sure. No, it's cool. I keep hearing... I hear comparisons like... if you took a little bit of Breath of the Wild and jammed it in there, that's kind of the game.
Yeah. It is very, very similar to Breath of the Wild. It has a very, very, that open world feel. And especially with mounts, you know, you get a mount and you start running around and going further and jumping higher and stuff like that that you weren't able to do before.
Is it a Pocket Man mount? Is it like a full-on, like, big old Pikachu horse? Or what do you get
it's
there?
It is like a Pikachu horse. Well, the first one you get is a reindeer, a Stantler. Or the evolution of Stantler. I can't remember what that's called, but...
They're Waldorfs. They start out as Statlers. They become Waldorfs.
That's right. They turn into Waldorfs. Yeah. Hey! I'm gonna catch that Pokemon!
They say.
That's right. And then you also get a bear that like can sense things in the ground and dig for it. And Weirdeer. Thank you, Saznak 9. Weirdeer. Weirdeer!
Weirdeer. Weirdeer. Well, that's awesome. I've been eyeballing it, just hesitant because I wasn't totally sure. Didn't have any immediate friends who have been playing. I guess John plays it, but hadn't really dug much deeper than that. But it sounds like a Pokemon game I would actually like more than your usual.
I think you would. Yeah, I think you'd get a kick out of it. It doesn't feel as repetitive. It doesn't feel repetitive at all. And I was worried about that when I was like, oh, okay, you're just basically go out into the wild and catch 10 of these and then come back and then catch 10 of these. No, there's way more to it. And you get little mini quests of like, could you please bring me back? All of a sudden, I can't think of good Pokemon names besides Pikachu. Could you go out and bring me back a Pikachu for my farms?
Yeah, you need them for your farms. That's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's great.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Again, it's like, I don't know. I like when they get weird with it. I don't know if these two new ones, what is it? Sapphires.
Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, those are the ones. I think those are probably a little more adherent to traditional Pocket Man.
It looks like it from the really short video, mm-hmm. you know, we got as a teaser, that's probably going to be closer. Who knows? Maybe not. I think this, you know, the fact that it's a Pokemon Legends game,
yeah.
and the whole thing has like a feudal Japan kind of feel to it. Even the Pokeballs look like steampunky versions of Pokeballs instead of your typical smooth red and white.
Oh, game. Right. Well, and canonically, this thing's set in the past, right? Some kind of prequel.
It is. Zone. It appears to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of cool. Because none of your, you don't have like the gym system or the
no
teleport stuff or any of that stuff. In
no. I mean, you can tell, you do some teleporting, but... I think it's probably just like, it's Game of Thrones teleporting, right? Where it's like, we cut away for a second. Look, you're back at your outpost, healing your Pokemon.
Gotcha. Somehow, yeah, we really got to get a lot in this final season, so.
Exactly. How about we invent teleporting? The White Walkers have taught us how to teleport.
Yeah.
And while I'm playing the game, I've been listening to the brand new album from Sturgill Simpson. Brand new, came out at the end of last year, but it's called The Ballad of Dude and Juanita.
Oh, it's good.
And
it's really good.
It's so good. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's bluegrass. What am I doing listening to bluegrass? But yeah. I'm totally hooked.
He's got a special brand. It's not the same. It's something special there. Special sauce. I don't know what it is, but he's fantastic.
He's figured out how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, him and Coulter Wall. Yeah, those are my jam. I love both those guys.
Yeah,
they're like a generation apart. Like Sturgill Simpson could probably be Coulter Wall's grandfather, because Coulter Wall's like all of 24 or something. He's young.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably dad. I think Sturgill Simpson's not that old himself, even though he sounds old.
Yeah.
We've been doing Sturgill's music for Soundography this week, and because of that, I've listened to everything. One right after the other. And it's amazing how he just goes from genre to genre. That whole Sound and Fury thing that he put out a couple of years ago, what, 2019?
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's awesome. And it's rock and roll. And it's kick ass. And there's a great anime Netflix thing that goes along with it. It's nuts.
Yeah,
it's
it is nuts. And you're right. He's only 43. So maybe 43, dad.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Dad. Yeah. Early dad. You know, like right out of high school.
Yes.
Pooped a kid
exactly,
out.
Yes.
Yeah. Sturgill got pregnant in high school is the rumor I'm spreading. Anyway, well, there's that. Hey, I got a quick sneak peek for people in the chat and those at home. You'll get an audio description of this soon. You'll have pictures to sort of show yourself. Let me share these real quick. So basically, we have the swag worked out for what people are going to get when they come to Vegas for TMS Vegas. And we have a price point, which is not up on the site yet. It will be soon. That should be today or tomorrow, something like that, real soon. Whoops, that's not the item. Hold on. I put the wrong thing up. Okay,
I can certainly get it on Viva TMS.
Yes.
Viva TMS Vegas.
So here's the golf ball. You're going to get a printed, custom, one-of-a-kind TMS Vegas 2022 golf ball. That artwork was done by me, drew the whole damn thing, took forever. Anyway, that thing is really cool because, and it was Brian who reminded me that we can do this shit on golf balls because we did the frog pants one years ago.
As the fact that I had one over here. Yeah, this one right here.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah.
And so, yep, so you guys see, and that's the quality. You'll get a nice, real nice little full color print on the side of your golf ball.
It's like an eyeball.
Even if you don't golf, it's just a cool keepsake, for the event. And then also, hold on a second. Let me pull up the next one. What do you call them? Die cut sticker. Of the Welcome to the Fabulous Morning Stream Nevada 2022 sticker. We had a similar sort of thing we used one year, but this one's all updated and in die-cut sticker form, which everyone loves.
Yeah.
So that'll be there. You can stick that on your notebook, your PC, whatever, wherever you put your stuff. There's also a print included. It'll be me and Brian and our little coffee cup logo just hanging out in there. Mm-hmm. And I left it nice and spacey on the side so that we can sign these because we'd love to do that for anybody who wants that.
You heard it. Kevin Spacey on the side.
That's right. So if you want this full, beautiful set of cool swag coming to you, basically when you come there, Kim and I will have them in these beautiful little bags and you can, you know, you'll have yours to take. And they're only going to run you like $25, I think, is our current price point. And I don't think it'll go up. I think that's all it's going to be. Super, super cheap compared to everything else happening. And it helps us cover costs of things like the ballroom we're renting and, you know, all that junk. So details on all that coming up soon, too. But this will be up in the Viva TMS or Viva TMS.com or no. VivaTMSVegas.com will have a link to it. It'll also be on the Frog Pants site, and you'll be well aware of it by the time this all happens. But we're excited. It's going
to
be great.
That's cool. Are you going to offer that up to people who don't come to the event who want to buy?
Yes. We will have extras made so that I don't know how many yet. I'm still working with Dave on that, but we'll have enough, hopefully, for anybody who can't come but still wants to, A, support the event, and, B, get their own little set.
Cool. So, can't wait. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. So much fun.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there quick, man. We're getting there quick. All right. Yes. More on that soon. Also, good news.
is it?
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but everybody wants those nacho fries at Taco Bell. And the good news is, since we do Taco Bell news here on the show all the time.
I know, it is. It is Taco Bell news.
Yeah, the nacho fries
stories,
are back.
Taco Bell news. And yeah. Brian.
Are you going to run right out and get some nacho fries now that they've?
I wasn't a fan of them the last time. they came out. So I was not one of the people clamoring for a return for the nacho fries.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever actually had them. I'll try them. Let's see. They're only doing them in certain locations, and then they're spreading out again. So let's see: Phoenix, Northern California, San Diego, Los Angeles, right now. Is that right? I take it down. No, that's not right. Hold on. This is the totally wrong. This link that Google gave me is wrong. Here it is.
Okay.
Weird. They didn't. They say they're caught in a time loop. And by that, they mean they haven't changed anything about the fries themselves. And also the packaging is identical to that last time that they were available, which was 20. The last time you could buy a thing of these was 2018. So it's been that long, which doesn't seem like that long, but it is kind of a,
that's 18 in Taco Bell years.
That's right. Let's see. Reward members have a chance to snag the first dip because the fries are served with cheesy sauce. So it looks like you rewards members can get them free and a la carte. March 24th to 26th before anyone else can.
Gosh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now I feel I have to go get them.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like them a whole lot.
There you go. It says the fries.
I've been told that they're limited edition. I've got to go, Scott.
The fries are priced at a recommended $1.49 an order, or you can get it in nacho form, which is covered in that crappy cheese, for $5.49. Really? That's a lot money. A lot of money for that goo. There's no way that stuff's worth that.
That's right. No.
That includes the fries, beefy five-layer burrito, and a crunchy taco and a medium drink. That's not too bad.
Well, no, it's not bad.
Yeah. So.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate it, but it's only here for a limited time, so I better get it.
Yeah. Get in there. They're trying to create. I think they're trying to make their own version of like the McRib, but I don't know that fries fall into that category. You got to do something else.
No, it's a side dish. That's not a meal, Jerry. That's a side dish.
It's a side dish. I'm having the salad.
You have that with a taco. A taco's your meal. Nacho fries are a side dish. That doesn't count as a meal.
The guys in the next is in next week's film sack. I'm so excited.
I know, I can't wait. I
can't wait either. So as a former employee of the venerable chain, what would you have as the McRib? You know, your returning thing.
Oh. Ooh, that's so good. What a good question. Steak burrito.
Oh.
When they had the grilled steak that they used for the fajitas, and then they said, oh, we could use this as a different ingredient and a different product. And they came up with basically it was a burrito supreme just with steak.
We can mix and match these and make four other items for our menu.
Exactly. What if we put steak in a Mexi belt?
I love this vision of what those
TV's
people
Travis
are like.
Says enchirito. I forgot about the enchirito. See that?
Wow.
Here's the deal, though, with the enchirito. They did bring it back for a little while, and it sucked. It wasn't nearly as good. I don't know what they did, but it it wasn't nearly as good as it used to be. And I don't know if it was the lack of olives on top, but there was something besides that that was missing.
Oh, right. So, the olives were on the early ones. Yeah, oh, okay. So according to the Taco Bell wiki, yes, there is a Taco Bell wiki. Uh-huh. The Enchirito at Taco Bell goes back as far as 1970. It is a burrito with beef, beans, scallions, a choice of either red chili sauce or green tomatillo sauce, and cheese. This popular item has been on and off the menu numerous times. It was discontinued officially in 2013. Let's see. Video for the Enchirito was made in the beginning of 2000 to start off Taco Bell's Year of Food. What the hell is that? Yeah, it looks like they're nowhere near bringing that back. So
that was the year that they made food, Scott. Yeah. That one year.
Wait, so the best time to have ever eaten Taco Bell would have been that year.
Yeah, you know, if you missed out on that year, sorry, you're not eating food.
That's a real shame. We missed that. I didn't really pay attention.
And I made the mistake of looking in my Taco Bell app, and today only, buy one, get one free, crunchy taco.
Oh,
that's like perfect two tacos and I'm done.
Yeah, you don't need more than that. No, don't let stories of weirdos with
480 calories, piece of cake. Have a piece of fruit with that, and it's lunch.
There you go. Don't put a piece of cake with it, though. Don't do that.
No, not a piece of cake. No. Fruit cake.
Yeah, fruit cake. There you go.
Piece of fruit cake.
I had a so there's a local place here doing a charity drive for Ukraine. They have these pies. So the place is called Flake. Anyway, it's all pies. They make pies and pastries and things like that.
Sure.
And they have these like Ukrainian hand pies, which I guess is a thing there. And their logos, they're not Ukrainian owned. They're not like nobody's from Ukraine, but they just so happen their color scheme of the place is the flag.
Oh,
colors.
It's yellow and blue. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That specific yellow and blue that they have, that many colors of Pentaton kind of looking. Or Benetton.
Close
or
enough.
Whatever
Benetton,
it is.
But sure.
Benetton.
Sure.
What am I thinking
of? You need
to
listen to some more of Vampire Weekend, man. Come on.
Oh, I'm thinking of Peloton is what I'm thinking of.
The United Colors of Peloton.
Yeah.
Red.
Red, sweaty, and
that's right, exactly.
And laid off, because they laid off all those people. Anyway. they're doing this thing where something like, I don't know, 80% of the proceeds or whatever it is go to some fund to go over there and help those people. And I got one of these. And I haven't had my blood sugar spike in a while. I've been doing real good that way.
Sure.
You know, just killing it. And I can have I'll have just a little peanut butter cup. No problem, because I don't spike on those if I'm being moderate. You know, just eat one and don't eat four.
Moderation is the key. Yep.
Yeah. So I ate a big bite of this. And a big bite of this Ukraine thing. Yeah, sure enough, big old spike. So gotta not do that. But anyway, I don't know why I brought that story up. Other than
it was worth it. But it was worth it.
It was totally worth it. It was for the people of Ukraine. All right.
Yeah.
That's what they need. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Free publicity for things to help Ukraine. There's a itch.io sale today. Put it up on Twitter. Let me see if I can find the link. It is basically they're doing a massive charity thing. 100% of the proceeds go to Ukraine and Ukrainian victims, and it is something like $3,000 to $4,000 worth of video games.
Oh, wow. Wow.
For $10. $10 or what you want to pay. You can pay more. But
it's itchy.io, right? Isn't that what they do?
Yeah, itchy.io, and I'm trying to find the damn... I have a direct link here somewhere.
Yo. No, it's not itchy.io, or at least not the way I spelled it.
Isn't it itch.io?
Itch.io?
Maybe.
That's it. Itch.io. There you go. Yeah.
I don't go there as much as I probably should.
I was put a Y in there when I shouldn't have put a Y in there. Oh, there it is right there. Skateboard.
There it is.
And it's Between Two Crowns, Cross Codes, Sword Lesbians, Backbone, Cloud Gardens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thousands of dollars worth of games. There's tons of games in there. Let's see. 1,000 or so games. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was underestimating. $6,500 plus minimum. That's how much they're worth or what they sell for normally. $10 donation or more if you want. All proceeds go to charity. It's totally worth it. There's a million rad indie games in there. That's what itch.io is all about anyway.
Ooh, super hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super hot.
I
there.
Love my super hot, super although I love it on. I can't imagine playing it on anything but VR.
Oh, it's really good in non-VR as well. I mean, it's good no matter where you play it, but it's okay. It's a very good game.
Oh, a lot of these, look at how many of these are like Mac compatible too. Sundered, Eldritch Edition. There's a few in here.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. So anyway, I did it this morning. You should too. It's a great way to support a thing. It's only $10, even if you never play them all. And look, if you wanted to...
I'd never play them all. Are you kidding me? I'm looking at these right now, and the list just keeps going and keeps going.
Oh, it goes forever. It's 1,000 games. And also, even if you did it and you don't even play games and you go ahead and do it, just send us all your codes. We'll put them in our list of...
oh, yeah, there you go.
Battle Royale prizes, you know?
There you go.
I don't know if these are Steam
I
codes
like,
or not,
I like... the girlfriend of my girlfriend is my friend.
Mm-hmm. There's some good ones in there.
It's a trans RPG. Interesting. Mm. That.
Didn't you say, what was the lesbian one you mentioned? Lesbian swords or
Blades
something?
Of, what was it? Lesbian blade? No, it was up near the top. Sword of lesbian. Thirsty sword lesbians.
There you go. Is. Awesome. Yep, that's in there. all kinds of like cool side-scrolling Metroidvania style games. Just a great collection. So
Golf Peaks was one that I think we talked about as a recommendation on here.
Yeah, it was an app, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was PC
Super Hexagon. I've loved playing. Hidden Folks. Oh, Cosmic Express looks like right up my alley.
Yeah, that's a cool game. Look at these. See, there's stuff. There's something for everybody, Brian. Something for everybody.
Shut up! I want this.
Get it. $10.
All right, I'm gonna get it. I'm totally gonna get it.
Yeah. Let's see. Hold on. Some other thing I was going to...
Metamorphabat.
Looks like this goes until... Oh, geez. In case the chat didn't get the link. There you go. Looks like it goes until... For 9 days. Whatever that is, you got time to get in there and get it. And it's totally worth it. An amazing collection of games. Oh, man. They got Goner on here. It's one of my favorite little roguelikes. That's a great game.
Wow.
Yeah. They got... Cool. Let's see. Dot Dungeon's very fun.
Well, heck, just take my money.
Celeste?
Itch.io.
No kidding. Oh, sorry. Celeste is amazing. I didn't mean to lose my mind there, but that's a very good game.
That's all right. Lose your mind. It's fine.
We'll find it. Lose your mind.
We'll find it. Can't be that hard to find.
Nope. It's over to the...
Jeez, every time I think I'm getting to the bottom of this list, like it says more.
It goes on forever. And it's all indie stuff. That's the whole point of itch.io. So, you know, you're not going to find your God of War in here, but you're going to get everything else.
No kidding.
All right. That's that for that. Now the newsroom. Oops.
And dance by the light of the moon.
Time for the news brought to you by...
By Frog Pants Television at youtube.com/Scott Johnson. Hey, Scott, what the heck is this thing all about?
Well, so I started doing short form commentary videos, like a big news item will pop up. Sony bought some secret Konami IP.
Outline yourself in white. You put big block letters of.
If it didn't work, I wouldn't do it. And then somebody else said, oh, Scott, you got to go full green screen and do this. And I said, this is as far as I'm willing to do this.
Well, that's what you say that now.
Yeah.
Until you said, wow, look at how my numbers shot up when I did that.
But it does actually work. Weirdly, I did a test. I tested ones without it and ones with it. And the ones with it got more hits.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
There's a reason people do it.
I don't like it. And every time you see my face in one of those, I look a little embarrassed. That's why. I don't like doing it. I don't like it.
I do like the one of you and Carter.
I know. She goes, we may as well go all in, Dad. And I'm like, all right, fine. Let's do the face. But anyway, it's a thing I'm doing, you know, kind of every so often over there. If you want to go check it out, it's at, like you said, over at youtube.com/Scott Johnson. There's a whole playlist for Frog Pants TV. And it's fun. I'm a good time with it. So go check it out. Okay. And some endangered sharks in the news. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is no good. They were found in a cat and dog food.
Sharks in the food.
Endangered sharks. Oh. Yep, they've been ground
up
and used
Rover.
There. Yeah, turns out maybe someone's not ethically sourcing their stuff as ethically as they told us they were.
The headline should be endangered shark meat found in cat and dog food, not endangered sharks. found in cat and dog food.
It does imply the entire shark was found in the
cat. It really does. Food. Like, you open a can of nine lives, and there's a fin going around in circles in the track.
Yeah, what's going on in Rusty's bowl? Oh, that's a whole shark in there. Yeah, I feel you. This is according to DNA studies. Pet food containing endangered shark meat. I'll add it.
Yeah.
Is being fed to cats and dogs by unwitting owners. According to a new study, scientists found that several brands contained endangered species, but listed only vague ingredients such as ocean fish, meaning that customers are often oblivious. They don't know. They just see ocean fish in the ingredients. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd eat anything that said ocean fish on it.
Ocean fish, as opposed to river fish or sea fish or pond fish.
Yeah, I just think that sounds...
Aquarium fish.
Yeah,
not the most popular one.
No,
right there.
No, they drag their own poo strings around in the aquariums. It's gross.
That's what they do that in the ocean too, Scott.
Shit. Now all the truth comes out. The majority of pet owners are likely lovers of nature. That's a weird assumption, but whatever. And we think most would be alarmed to discover that they would unknowingly be contributing to overfishing of shark populations, says the study's author Ben Wainwright of Ian French, the Yale Nuss College in Singapore. N-U-S, I don't know what that means. Must be an extension in Singapore. Anyway.
Yale Nuss.
Yale Nuss.
Yale Nuss.
Shark populations are overfished throughout the world, with declines of over 70% in the last 50 years. That's just in our lifetimes, man.
Yeah.
As apex predators, they are crucial for the balance of oceans, the ocean and its food chain, and the loss of sharks has knock-on effects on seagrass beds and coral reefs. The sale of shark fins has been widely publicized, but a silent contributor, the author says, to the use of shark products in everyday items such as food, for pets and cosmetics. So all that makeup I put on this morning, it's got shark meat in it.
Yeah, well, tested on sharks and stuff. Yeah. I also blame Spielberg. I think that it's him and the animal testing and Nine Lives.
Okay. I blame his Mexican non-union equivalent, Spielbergo. Steven Spielbergo.
Steven Spielbergo.
My favorite Simpsons jokes of all time. I love that one.
I forgot about
that. Do you remember that? It was like the Springfield Film Festival, and it's where they launched. It was actually the entire episode was an attempt to launch that spinoff or to launch the show of The Critic.
Because
he was on there. John, what's his name? Lovitz was on there playing that character. And then he went from that to then that new show. But The Critic only lasted two seasons or something. But I don't remember almost any of it to do with him. It could have been any guest star. That was just one of the best episodes they ever made. It was fantastic. It was crossover, but it was before that show launched, I think. Chat room, you could clear this up if I'm wrong, but I think that's right. I have strong memories.
I didn't remember. I thought that they did a crossover, but I didn't remember one launching the other. But
I thought it was. I could be totally wrong on that. That's my memory is fuzzy. It stinks. Exactly. Oh, man. Those were the days. I enjoyed those days of animation. By the way, happy... if anyone's watching this on... what's it called? Smiley Friends, I think it's called, or something like that. It's a new HBO Max series. Hold on. Smiley Friends? If you like weird... Yeah, it is Smiling Friends. That's it. It's an Adult Swim show. It's on HBO Max right now. Apparently these are two popular YouTube animators. They got their start on YouTube, and then now this is their big break. They got their big show. It is the weirdest ass thing, but I love it. But it's weird.
Does it feel like cheap, janky animated style kind of thing? Like
no, it's not cheap and janky. It's like how do I explain it? I don't know. It's not like anything else that's on. It's definitely very Adult Swim, though. Like, I don't think these are good comparisons, but if somebody's seen Squidbillies or somebody has seen, and I'm not talking about like the stuff where it's like, oh, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. I don't mean like that. It's just it's very odd. Very like, we smoke pot while we write this show kind of odd. I love it.
Okay, all right.
Nick and I are really into it. It's very good.
This is something that started on YouTube, or these guys started out on YouTube and then Smiling Friends became a HBO Max thing.
Yes, that's the trajectory, gotcha. I believe. Yeah. But I didn't follow them before that, so I'm Not sure how that all came together, but it's a very odd thing.
Yeah, this looks great.
Yeah, okay. there's something about it. It's got a little sauce to it. Me and Nick laughed our heads off the other night. We were having a good time with it. So,
yeah.
Here's your early week recommendal for smiling friends.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Don't eat. The point is, don't eat cat food. Is the point?
Don't eat the shark infested cat food.
Yeah.
Watch out for the sharks.
I'm just gonna say people shouldn't eat cat food no matter what, and then. Well, everybody else should.
Unless there's a let's caveat. Mm. If there's an apocalypse, right, and mm-hmm. and all we can find in the rummage through convenience stores is cat food, then we can eat cat food.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
And then at that point, we're okay with the sharks.
Totally fine with the sharks too. Then yeah, because it's survival of the fittest at that point. Screw the sharks. Is
right,
what we're saying.
Right. Exactly.
Check this
they
out.
They need us. They would be like, oh, I'm not touching that. It's got human in it.
Yeah.
And we need to protect the humans.
Yeah. Protect the humans. They're. Yeah. We'll be the. Brian is exactly right. And then when society rebuilds itself, fine. We'll go back
and
to the
we'll
old
go
ways.
Go back to protecting the sharks.
Yes. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, listen to this. They found, I didn't realize they actually named some of these. Of all these samples, they found these species, blue shark, silky shark.
Mm. Oh, those are tasty.
Mm. White tip reef shark. Mm.
Yeah.
No?
A little chewy.
Those were vulnerable species, those two. They also found DNA of the sickle fin weasel shark.
Oh, yes. Those are just fine to eat.
Yep.
Based on the name, I'd say the more of those you can shove into cat food, the better.
Yeah.
We don't need any. That's a brand of shark we just don't need floating around.
No.
It's the sickle fin weasel sharks.
Yeah, nobody needs sickle fin weasel sharks. Although I loved their work. Those first two albums were amazing. They were incredible.
Were there enough weasel sharks that we needed one more differentiator with the sickle fin?
Yeah. Yeah, how many other weasel sharks are there? Oh, you got the curved fin, the hook fin weasel shark.
The hammer fin weasel shark.
Yeah, the regular fin. No one talks about the regular fin weasel shark. They're not really, not vulnerable, so who cares? Go ahead and eat them, I guess. All right, here's my favorite story of the week, or the day, rather.
Okay, all right.
Disgraced producer Harvey Weinstein got caught smuggling milk duds into jail.
Oh, I hope those are milk duds.
I hope they're poo nuggets. That's what I hope.
Who wants milk duds?
Yeah.
I do. I'm Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein was caught with contraband milk duds in November, prompting a reprimand from LA County jail guards, according to records viewed by Variety.com. The milk duds were found during a search on November 10th after Weinstein had a face-to-face meeting with Sean Berkley, one of his attorneys. The milk duds were confiscated, and the guards warned that they would have to search his attorney's legal binders and laptop bags on future visits, because he's the one what brought the milk duds.
I thought you were allowed to bring food in as long as it got checked for, like, nail files. Remember how you'd always see the cartoons of the birthday cake, and they'd look inside, and there's, like, a file in, mm-hmm. not a nail file, but, like, a file in there to cut through the bars?
Yeah.
I thought it was okay to bring food to your inmate friends.
Do we have... No? Who do we have in the jail?
Well, Hammond
business?
Was a warden for a long time.
Oh, yeah, for the youth warden stuff he used to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hammond, if you're listening, he's probably not. If he is, though, you can fill us in. Anybody else in correctional institutions, let us know. Like, was it always just a joke that a cake had a file in it, and that Brian and I are just under the assumption that a cake is fine.
It was okay to bring food. If the cake without a file, totally fine to bring to prison.
And it's entirely possible that this guy thought, this the attorney thought that milk duds were 100% okay. You know, he may not have known.
I'm texting Hammond right now. Is it okay to bring prisoners food like cake or milk duds?
Yeah. Is it? Maybe they can be too easily laced with drugs. Maybe they can have...
Oh, that could be, right? Like a bath salt milk duds.
Yeah. Yeah. They call those BS milk duds, BS MDs. Yeah. That doesn't just stand for bullshit doctors. It's it's bath salts, milk duds.
I just love the fact that Heaven's going to get this weird message out of the blue. Like, I'm going to go visit my friend in jail, and I'm wondering if I can take him a cake.
Like, right. He doesn't have any context for this.
No, this is completely out of the blue, which is the best.
Crazy neighbor Dave is in jail, and I would like to take him a cake. Hammond,
I'd like to take him some milk duds. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Is that all right? I'll bet it's drugs. I'll bet you money it's drugs.
I know that you've got like a commissary. He replied back. Not in our jail. I suggest you call the facility for their own rules.
Nice. Nice. See, he doesn't know. He thinks you're serious.
He doesn't know. It's the best.
Yeah, that's great. Lead him.
Yeah, we'll just keep him.
That'll teach him not to listen to the update on the show. All right.
Awesome.
Let's see. The Weinstein claimed to the guards that he was brought the milk duds by his. He had brought the milk duds with him when he was extradited from New York in July. So he lied.
These are my milk duds.
These are my milk duds. Do you want to touch my penis? He'd say, because he loves to be touched there. Let's see. The milk duds confiscated. They warned. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, here it is. The jail official said he had been searched upon his arrival in the L.A. County's jail's medical facility. Nothing was found, leading him to conclude the milk duds were passed to him during the attorney visit. Weinstein apologized for the incident in a statement Wednesday. Here's what he said. This was an innocent misunderstanding. I'm sure he's super trustworthy. This seems like the kind of guy that would never lie ever. Weinstein is the most honest guy on the planet, and surely isn't in jail for reasons that make him a giant flaming douchebag. Anyway, this was an innocent misunderstanding, he said. It will not happen again. I have been a model inmate following the rules and regulations. I am sincerely sorry. Weinstein's lead attorneys, Mark Worksman and Alan Jackson, also issued an apology. Well, you're not
I also like to visualize that the prison has like a refreshment stand or like a lobby. Let's all go to you say, oh, let's see. I'll take the milk duds, some Raisinets, and did you want jujubes? Let's give you some jujubes.
Jujubes. There you go. Never had a jujube. Have you had one?
No, before? I haven't either. No.
I only seen these.
They're like spherical gummy bears, aren't they? Isn't that what a jujube is? Like they're just
like a little chewy. Disc. It's like a little disc, right?
I think so. Now I'm going to look it up. Jujubes.
They're on that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine takes them to her boyfriend's hospital room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
They look like dental work removers, man.
I'm not finding it because I found a American drag queen. I found a baby item manufacturer.
They're basically another.
How do you spell jujubes?
J-U-J-U-B-E-S.
Yeah, that's okay. Oh, there we go. Now I found them.
They look like
gumdrops, basically.
Yeah, they're just dots. Another form of dots. And these will take your face apart if you have any kind of fillings or crowns.
Exactly. Say goodbye to any fillings you've got.
Yeah, don't eat these. They'll give you need for fillings if you don't have any, and B, if you have fillings, it'll take them out. Don't do it.
I do like how you've got the, here's the candy next to it, here's the gumdrops, and then here's the American drag queen.
Yeah.
American drag queen!
We had it.
Her name is Jujubee!
Is there really a drag queen called Jujubee? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Should I be familiar with this
Her
person?
Real name is Airline Inthriath.
Ugh.
Airline?
Airline. Oh, it is Airline.
A-I-R-L-I-N-E. Airline Inthriath.
It is Airline. she was the first season of that drag race. That's why she's popular.
Yeah,
she's,
RuPaul.
Yeah, okay. All right. Some of those guys, some of those people who are on that show... some of them are just regular dudes most of the time, and then just this is a thing they do for fun or profession is they do drag stuff. So it's generally seen as it's okay for me to say what I'm saying is if you're a drag queen, it doesn't mean you're necessarily identifying as a woman. It may just be that this is just your performance persona,
right? You just you can be. I imagine there are straight drag queens, right?
Yeah.
Tally, are there? There's got to be, right? I mean,
yes.
It's just like dressing up.
Yeah, they're just like doing
performing
this.
as women, but still like to be with women.
Yeah, or they're just like. I mean, here's my experience with drag queens, and I'm not kidding. This is as far as it goes. I've seen The Birdcage about 7 times. Okay, and I love that movie.
Oh, you need to go to, there's got to be like a, we've got a drag queen bingo out here. It's so much fun. Oh my gosh.
Is that the one you, yeah, you showed, there's a picture.
I sent you a photo of the guy walking around letting you slurp Jell-O shots off his butt. Yes.
I don't want anyone's butt. Well, whatever. She was like 80s era Paulina Poroskova or something, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, she was, yeah.
But I don't.
All right,
there
we go. Yes, exactly. No, this was just a dude, like a dude in a jockstrap.
Okay. So yeah. She says drag queens can be trans or not. They can be straight or not. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's cool. Just whatever. Right, cool. Just whatever. You just, you know, you are what you are, and you do what you do.
There we go. Madimorphosis. I love that name. Madimorphosis is a straight queen from Arkansas who was on season 14.
Wait, cool. How many seasons are there of that show? Holy crap!
At least 14.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Let's see, it's been going since 2012. Yeah. Oh no, that's just All Stars. It's been going since let's see, what was the
14 of American Drag Race?
Like there's a show called Dragnificent. That's awesome.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do like that. Dragnificent. Come on. That's really good.
Oh, just 14 seasons of American Drag Race.
Okay. Just 14. That's all.
Just 14. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be some time with our Tuesday people. That's right. Bill Duran will be here. Right after that, we'll spend some time with Bobby talking science. That'll be after this. Brian, what are we playing?
Who are you calling Tuesday people? Yeah, Brom wrote in and said, "Hey, Squanch and Bird Person."
I like that.
I have a good friend who is an amazing indie punk rock, who is in an amazing indie punk rock group from Denver called the Potato Pirates. I'm requesting the song Drink Ourselves Under the Table from their 2019 album Hymns for the Wayward, because what's more TMS than getting drunk first thing in the morning? Unless you're Claire, since TMS is conveniently on at drink o'clock Irish time. Mm. By the way, happy International Women's Day to an international woman, Claire Gack.
Yeah. Right, also Sam Jane from Canada. She's international.
Oh, right. She's international.
Yeah.
And really, all of our American women friends are international if you're outside the country.
Yeah.
So,
all women.
International Women's Day to all of our women.
All our women. Our women. All of women. Our women.
Oh, yeah. Zoe Briggs Bacon.
Yeah, that's
another
right.
International woman.
That's right. Well done, all of our women.
All of our women.
Oh, and
all of the women in our lives is the way I meant to phrase that.
Tally, also in Canada, happy International Women's Day to you. Happy, may all the women have a great international day. Okay.
Gidget, wherever you are right now, happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, wherever you are. All right.
They sent me permission. They reached out to the band. Band said, oh, absolutely. Just like that. Just a quick note for you, Scott. There is an F-bomb at 1:15. So you may want to please make a note of it.
Yes, I will make a note of it and beep it in post.
There you go. And Brahm says, is it too early to get a honk? Ah!
Oh, we love the honk.
Did horn and scream is, I think, the official term for that.
Did I? Yeah, here it is. Ah! Oh, I love it.
The horn and scream.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah. All right, Brahm. Yes, happy to play this one for you. From their album, Hymns for the Wayward from 2019, here is the Denver punk rock group, the Potato Pirates, and Drink Ourselves Under the Table. We'll be right back.
We all want to thrive, and it turns out we all might like Thrive Market as well. That's my attempt at some fun wordplay there. Thrive Market is an online membership-based market on a mission to make healthy living an easy and affordable thing for everybody. That means you. Okay? Thrive Market carries all of your favorite clean brands, with everything from healthy pantry essentials to sustainable meat and seafood and more. It's all brought straight to your door. Simple delivery. And if you find a price lower anywhere, they'll match it. Each and every item is vetted by Thrive's high standards, so you get the highest quality products at the best price. Plus, you can easily shop with filters such as keto, gluten-free, low sugar. There's around 100 options or so to sort by, which is pretty great. And when you become a member, the Thrive Market donates a membership to a family in need. And they donated $4.5 million. Holy crap. In healthy groceries and counting. They're still at it. Here's why I love them. Look, I like some cashews, and I like some beef sticks, and I like some raisins. These may sound like a strange combination, but that's the most recent order I did. And I love them all. Healthy, well-made, you know, ethically sourced food. Even my snacks are better these days. It's really, really great. They have two types of membership options, monthly or annually. And, you know, it depends on what suits your needs. Go with one or the other. And, yeah, I love them. They're really, really great. And I saved money. That's great, too. How about you save some more money? Get 40% off your order and a free gift worth over $50 by joining today at thrivemarket.com/TMS. That's 40% off your first order and a free gift worth over $50 by going to Thrive, that's T-H-R-I-V-E, thrivemarket.com/TMS. Give it a shot. You'll like it.
I doubt if we'll get anything out of those men we caught.
We can try. At least they're out of circulation, thanks to you.
Now you can see how important it is to guard every place where diamonds are kept.
I certainly do. We can get a line on who's after the diamonds and where they're taking them.
This is Betty. She's saying I brought my four children here on vacation.
The Morning Stream. I got a middle finger.
I like that lady. She's pretty great.
I like that lady because I'm just picturing Betty looks really tired. Betty's saying, I brought my four children on vacation. How can you tell? Because Betty's sitting there with the tallest Mai Tai they would sell her and a sleepy look on her face.
Yeah, that lady's awesome. I love her. All right. Credit where it's due. That song, again, who was that?
Yeah, that song is... that song is Drink Ourselves Under the Table by the Potato Pirates, a indie punk rock group here from Denver. Very much like a Dropkick Murphys kind of style. So hope you dug it.
I bet I will when I hear it in post.
Yeah.
I might even keep that F-bomb if it feels good, you know?
when does an F-bomb not feel good?
It just depends on the context.
Feel good F-bomb of the year.
That's right. So Punish Props own Bill Duran coming in.
Yeah, I know exactly. Well, I know what I'm hoping he's going to be talking about.
Oh, really? Well, then let's find out together.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
As mentioned before, Bill Duran, who makes things, comes on Tuesdays, talks about making that stuff on his YouTube channel and otherwise, and he's back with us today. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hey.
I hope you're going to talk to us about squirrels.
Oh, you better believe it.
Oh, yes. I have no idea what this is about, so I'm Twitter-pated, right? Is that a word? Is that a thing?
It is a word. It is absolutely Twitter-pated. Sure.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, Bill, tell us more. What are you doing this week?
All right. Well, a while back, we made a little something from the game Inscription. We made the squirrel in a bottle.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
It was.
But there's more from that game that we wanted to make.
Very nice. By the way, did I see on Twitter or something you were interacting with somebody who did this, made one based on your build or something?
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite things to see when I make a thing and make a video about it, and then someone on the internet follows along. That makes me feel so good.
Yeah, it should. It's very cool they did that. Anyway, sorry. So you've got more. There's more that game has to offer for you as a maker, doesn't it?
There definitely is. Yeah. And in fact, the 3D artist for the game, the artist that worked on the game, was allowed to release a bunch of 3D printable files from the game. So there's some masks. If you play the game, you know there's a character that has changes a bunch of cool masks.
Yeah.
And a bunch of really cool animal totems. And the files are just up on Thingiverse. They're free. You can go download them. And they're really cool and really intricate. And I also wish more video game companies did this.
Yeah,
no kidding. Neat, right?
Oh, yeah, it's for unfortunate. Sure. I can see why some don't, because they see it as, you know, important intellectual property or whatever. But I think since people can kind of duplicate that stuff pretty well anyway, you may as well join in the party and like get people excited about your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we decided there's a squirrel totem that we wanted to make. There are these different animal totems from the game. You get you combine an animal head with a different symbol on the belly. There's a little symbol on their chest to be able to upgrade all the cards of that kind with a new attribute. It's a really fun little system from the game. And the way that the printing files work, you print the body and then you print a different symbol for the chest. And then you print a different animal for the head. So we chose squirrel totem with the triple blood upgrade, which if you played the game, you know, it's a little OP. It's pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It is. I've not finished the game entirely, like seen every single inch of the thing, but I got far enough to see that. And it is OP.
Yeah.
Horrifically. Oh, yeah. So great. Yeah, it's good.
So that was the decision we made, the totem we decided to make. And it was a really great task for the newer resin printer that we got. The new, we got the Anycubic Mono X.
Mm-hmm.
It printed awesome. It looks really cool. The sculpt is very, very organic, very sculptural. And the resin printer did an awesome job with it. The squirrel and all of the totems have glowing eyes and the symbol on their chest glows. So we printed all the parts in a transparent resin and we printed it hollow so that we could just feed LEDs up into the body and it makes the whole thing glow. But before we painted any of it, we just masked off the eyes and the chest with toothpaste.
Toothpaste?
Believe it or not.
That great primer masking material, toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
That's right.
Yeah. Hold on. I can't let this just go too fast. What kind of toothpaste? Yeah. Like, are we talking a special brand? It has to be minty? Like, what's the deal?
So I would recommend getting the most basic toothpaste possible. I wouldn't use anything with hydrogen and peroxide with it. That could mess with your paint.
Mm.
So whatever the cheapest, most basic toothpaste you can find is.
Okay. All right.
Now, I've in the past used latex rubber for this, and that would be even better. I just happen to be all out. The latex is cool because it's a liquid that you can brush on as a masking fluid, and then it dries, and when it's done, you can peel it off, and it just peels right off. It's very satisfying. But I'm all out, so we used the toothpaste, which worked pretty well.
That's great.
And then we sprayed our primer on there, and we sprayed our base color of paint on there. And then we scraped all the toothpaste off so that everything is painted except for the eyes and the chest so that those are the only spots that let light out. And that whole process worked out really well.
So
super happy how that turned out.
Even though it's called transparent resin, it still seems like there's an opaqueness there you'd have to deal with in terms of like lack of brightness or something. Or
you know what it's like? It's like because the problem you run into, it's like when you make ice.
Mm.
Unless you make something that is just all glass in a mold and then it sets all at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a little bit of opacity just because of the layers.
So just a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Cloudy maybe is the word I'm looking
Cloudiness,
for.
Cloudiness, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little, just a little bit translucent instead of being transparent. It's actually really good for the LEDs because it helps diffuse the light more. It makes it look more glowy as opposed to just having like a spot of light.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So it turned out great. Like it was almost a perfect consistency for being like a light pipe to sort of let more light out.
Well, plus this aesthetic in the game is everything's a little aged and yellowed and, you know, it kind of still fits even in that regard, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I have a bunch of different colors of LED and I went with a warm white. You can get like a daylight light, like more of a blue white LED.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with the warm white LEDs. It'd be a little more like that, a little more old wanted it to look kind of aged. And I think it turned out pretty well. The so we spray painted it like a gray. We wanted the whole thing to look like carved stone.
Yeah.
And once it was actually kind of cool because I scraped away a lot of the toothpaste, but then I went in there with a wet brush and just scrubbed it away. You know, it got all frothy and toothpastey to get rid of the rest of it. And that worked really well. And the rest of it was painted by hand. So Britt did a lot of the painting with just normal acrylic paints, did some washes, did some dry brushing to get it to look a little bit more like stone.
Oh, look how bright that light comes out. You know what? This is rad. These are cool. You could sell these. You know, I don't know many people.
It is super, super cool.
I don't know how many people have played this game, but you guys have nailed the aesthetic. It looks great. Because there's a certain other thing about that game that they're aiming for there, which is these aren't meant to be beautifully, you know, rendered, perfect polygonal, no edges, no jaggy kind of thing. They're more aiming for like a PS1 era dirty, crusty kind of look. And you guys have duped that really well here, I think.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, looks really good.
Watching your video yesterday inspired me. Started working on a holder. So I've got the Savvy's lightsaber kyber crystals, right?
Ooh.
Got quite the collection of them. There's a blue one right here I'm holding up to the screen. And I wanted to create a holder that has light coming up out of the base to make the crystals glow. You know, based on seeing the way you made the scroll glow, I'm not going to do the whole thing in clear and then just paint over the parts I want. It's just going to be openings where the light will be coming up. But, I'm really like, you know, always fun when you get inspired, by one of your cool videos. Here's the base part. So just as kind of like a,
Hold on.
Example.
I'm going to get Brian up here. Here we go. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that's cool.
How those kyber crystals glow.
Oh, I want to collect all of them and then upgrade my armor or something.
Well, and I can also 3D print all the colors I'm missing because I've got clear resin to to kind of compensate for. I'm not buying a white one. I never found a black one, so I'm going to make just kind of print those myself.
Hmm. Will you just dye the clear resin to get the color you want?
No, I actually have a few different colors of clear resin just from projects I've done. So I've got a smoky black one that's in the printer right now making black kyber crystals.
That's cool. I actually just got some smoky black resin myself too.
Yeah.
And I just printed. I'm not going to spill the beans.
Smoky flavor to it.
Yeah. I just printed something with that yesterday that it'll be a project in the next couple of weeks. And it looks really cool.
Cool. Oh, I can't wait to see how it looks. Awesome.
One more quick thing with the squirrel totem. In the game, when the totem upgrades a card, so all the squirrel cards get upgraded. So that symbol on the belly gets added to the cards as like this glowing symbol. So I made a little stencil and I mixed up my own UV reactive paint by mixing glow powder with clear paint to make that symbol. And you can barely see the symbol normally, but when you put a UV flashlight on it, it glows green and it looks really cool. It looks just like it's from the game.
Interesting.
That was like the little additional thing we added at the end of the video. I'm super happy with how that turned out. Like, it looks like it's just from the game.
I have a resin question that is totally unrelated. I'm just looking at a list of the best resin printers for the year, and there's, you know, Tom's Hardware and Wirecutter and all these people have different opinions. Why is it all of them, no matter what the brand, the shell that you put on top of it while it prints is always like amber in color?
Oh,
because you're curing resin. Like basically the resin that's in that vat cures when it's exposed to sunlight or ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
So you want to block any of that extra stuff getting through.
Right.
Okay.
And likewise, the cleaning station shines UV light on your print to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So that same, sort of yellowish looking top prevents that UV light coming out into your eyes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it either keeps the UV light out or in, depending on which operation you're doing.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not saying I'm getting one. I'm just saying maybe I want one.
It sounds like you're doing a little shopping, Scott.
Well, every time I see somebody do something rad with resin, I just get, I get pushed further and closer to what these people are doing. but it doesn't seem like they're all that expensive. Even the nice, like higher end, really nice resolution stuff is like, I don't know. I can get one for $560.
Yeah, yeah. The one I've been using is like $750, I think.
Yeah.
Compared to the Form 2 that I have from a few years ago, that was like $3,500.
Yeah.
It's quite a drop in price in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Pretty good time to be getting into it.
All right. Well, cool as always. Go check out that latest video up at punishprops.com. It's very, very good. And it'll make you appreciate that game even more if you are a fan. And even if you're not, I think you'll like what you see. Mm-hmm. Bill, you often come on. Well, no, I shouldn't say often. Always come on with a bonus link of some sort. Would you like to do one today?
Yes, my buddy Simone Yetch made a new video. She made a really cool window. It ended up being a stained glass window. I've seen a couple of people making stained glass windows recently, and it always just looks so cool.
Oh, she's awesome. So this isn't a wacky robot. She made an actual stained etched or glass window thing.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, she bought a house, so she's been doing things to upgrade her house, which is great.
Cool.
Yeah. She's great. She's one of my favorites. She's Swedish, right? Swedish. So she has my blood, which means we're all going to be burned one day.
She's Swedish, right? Swedish.
I really like her. All right. There you go. Bill Duran, everybody. Punchprops.com is the place to go. Go check it out. Bill, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye now.
See you, Bill.
Man, that's cool.
It is cool. That stained glass is gorgeous, too.
Oh, I know, right? It looks really good.
Yeah.
She's super smart. Her wacky robots that, like, beat the hell out of people and stuff are some of my favorite things.
Oh, that's what I know her from. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's really good stuff.
Longer. It's cool.
The one that she did this.
Now she can make a glass that beats people up.
She did one that was a toothbrusher, I think, or a... What was it? It was something in the bathroom, and it was a robot. I think it was teeth, and it just tried to... You know, and she's trying to hold her head still and thinking, really funny stuff.
That's awesome.
Kind of what she's known for, I guess. And she does quite well. That video right there has got 1.4 million views. Pretty good.
Of course it does. Of course it
pretty,
does.
Pretty good. All right.
Oh, wow. She had brain cancer? Jeez.
Oh, I didn't know this. Is this true?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
kudos to her for overcoming that and being able to do all this amazing stuff.
Yeah. Jeez. That's not a small thing in your life to have a brain tumor removed. May have just been a tumor. Maybe not cancer. I don't know. Like my mom's. My mom had one of those. The size of a grapefruit, they said.
Ugh, oh, my God.
Yeah. We didn't get to keep it, though. It's unfortunate. Just give her a grapefruit. Yeah. Say, here, Mom, keep it in the bag. Don't look at it. We promise it is what we say it is. Bobby. That's who we're doing.
Yeah, science time.
Forgot what day it was. I almost added Randy to the call.
No, don't do that.
No, hello.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, good morning, morning stream.
He didn't do that, by the way, when we saw him in California.
Oh, man.
Hey, welcome to lunch at El Torito. That's how are you doing? I'm great.
I'm great. I'm on my 12th cup of coffee. All right, check this out.
Science.
Hey, it's science. You know who's on science Tuesdays? It's Bobby Frankenberger, who's joining us now. Hi, Bobby. How you doing there, bud?
I'm doing good. Do you have your Steam Deck email yet?
Nope. Did you?
Ugh, no.
No, I think I'm
Let's
probably...
Let's just have our weekly check-in here, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking, actually, so I keep checking spam, and I haven't done it today, so let me just check real quick. I'm sure it wouldn't go there, but, you know, you want to be safe. Yeah, still nothing. So
yeah, I'm checking my spam. I'm still getting my penis 15 inches emails.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, good. Those are still coming through just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're worried about you, man.
I think it's saying pen is 15 inches. I think it's trying to sell you a long pen.
Oh, that's why it takes you to penisland.com.
Oh well, yeah. I'll definitely take that off the spam filter. Then I need to get those.
Yeah, for sure. You need a long pen. Who doesn't need a 15 inch pen?
You know.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the permission I needed. Wink, wink.
Yep. Wink, wink. Yeah. So no good yet, but we'll see soon. Hopefully, we got remember the other Bill who was in season one of ANTP, Bill?
Yeah, there are lots of Bills in our lives. Bill, huh?
Yes. Anyway, he's coming on Core for his hot takes on his Steam Deck, which he did receive.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so he got his. We're going to hear and learn all about it.
He must have had one of the bots.
Yeah, he he had a sniper bot that got it early. I don't know. I've heard from a lot of friends who are on that first wave. I had one friend who said, you know what? I'm not going to need it or get it. I'm on the first wave. When this comes in, I'll just send it to you, and you can just pay me, you know, PayPal or whatever.
Nice.
And I said, nice. I said, oh, that's great. And then about a week later, he said, you know, I decided I think I'm just going to go ahead and get it.
I just watched some more videos on it. It seems really cool. I'm keeping it.
So now he's selling
it. Now that it's in my hand.
Yeah.
You should have had him sign something. I've seen it a lot with adoptions. Yep. You should have had him sign a
form. He's about to have a baby, and I think his thinking is this would be his perfect gaming thing to have with him when he's up at night or whatever. So we'll see. I think handheld gaming is harder than people remember with babies, but whatever. Good luck, what I'd say.
That's true.
Anyway, Bobby, you're here. We probably have some sort of big science topic to cover, and I would love to hear what it is. So what are you thinking about this week?
Well, I was thinking about the war in Ukraine, and I was thinking about diplomatic relations with Russia being strained as they are right now, mm-hmm. and how that affects science.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it does, in particular, space science.
Oh.
Do you guys know that we are super close or have been in the past really close partners with Russia on space?
We have been, yeah, especially ISS stuff, right? Up there with the...
Yeah, especially ISS, but it extends way beyond that. So we've been working with Russia since the 90s on the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen without our cooperation with Russia.
I don't even think that thing. I mean, we certainly wouldn't have Peter Stormare up there talking to Bruce Willis, right?
This is how you fix it. You hit it with a wrench.
I love that role. It's one of my favorite things he ever did. He was the only guy up there, and he's all stinky, and they weren't sure they could trust him.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
By all accounts, the smell is pretty overwhelming when you go into the space.
Is that true? I didn't know this. That's great. Yeah. I love
they
that.
They can't open a window, I guess. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So air it out. Yeah.
crack a window. And
I mean,
now
it's all recycled air, you know. So
yeah,
that's true. So,
but there are other things. Europe in general, like all European nations that are doing space stuff, they have this ExoMars exploration mission that they were trying to get cranked up to go to Mars, and they were working with Russia on that. Russia was going to be supplying the rockets and the lander for that mission. Russia's canceled that.
Yeah.
Russia vowed to stop selling rockets to U.S. companies. So not just to NASA, but and stuff. But we're talking SpaceX and Northrop Grumman and all those all those companies that need rockets to make their stuff.
Were we buying a lot of rockets before from them? Or I thought we made most of that ourselves.
Russia makes a lot of rocket engines and a lot of rocket parts, and they were a big supplier of that. Our trade with them was how we got a lot of that stuff, and they also they canceled a contract with this company, private company, but a company called OneWeb, which has been launching rockets to try to... Their mission is they want to create a global web of internet-providing satellites.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a big contract with Russia. They canceled all that. So Russia's, like, cutting its ties in space stuff everywhere.
And I assume some of those ties are being cut the other direction, right? Everybody seems to be putting
stuff
on hold.
And sanctions that different countries have on them is going to impact it a big time. So for example, the ISS is still operating, and nobody, neither us nor Russia, have explicitly stated that we're going to stop that. But
is it uncomfortable up there, though? Is there like some, you know, freaking Yuri and Carl up there hanging out going, oh, man, you see what's going on down there? Oh, yeah, seems very bad. Could be bad. Like, what do they do if they're already up there? They're up in space. I don't want anything weird to happen to those guys.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I don't know what kind of uncomfortable conversations you're having. But
what was the movie? 2010 had that situation, right? Where while all the Americans and Russians were on that space station floating around Jupiter, the countries went to war, and they're like, well, I guess we got to divide this. We have to Les Nessman the space station in half and can't cross the lines kind of thing.
Oh, that's a good deep cut. I loved when Les Nessman cut the office in half. That's an amazing. That's really good. Sorry.
You can see the bombs from space that are going off. I know back when Russia was, the whole thing happened in Ukraine back in, I think, 2015 with the Crimean peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to annex Crimea.
Yeah.
There was an astronaut up in the ISS who was sending pictures and videos and down saying of how you could see the bombing that was being done from up there and how, like, how weird that must be to see it. And just, yeah, imagine an American. And or, well, there's a German guy up there too. So you've got the European and the American. Exactly. And they're just, imagine watching this with a Russian dude right there. Oh, I can't imagine.
It yeah. must be strange. Does the German have a tattoo of a fence across, right down his face that just goes down the center of his body and then maybe it has a little 1990 written to it and then it's like broken there? No, he doesn't have a division of East and West. Okay, there it goes.
He doesn't have.
but yeah, I don't know. I like to imagine that the what's going on up there might be a little more amicable or at least not too tense. I know historically the ISS has been a place where, you know, science, it's like bringing together of people and like, let's put politics behind us. And surely that's why it hasn't been shut down yet, but there's a very big risk that it's going to stop.
That's the other thing is, as much as, you know, Russia needs their core of scientists to be loyal to the state or whatever, you know, that there's more probable is that there's just a lot of mutual respect between these international scientists and they are excited to be working together and sharing data. And like, this has been the relationship. And so to have their government, you know, F things up like this must just be for everybody involved. But I don't think it works like, you know, I don't think that the Russian guy up there is like, oh, okay, well, this means I don't like you anymore to the guy across the room.
Right, exactly.
I think they probably would like to keep going and keep making cool stuff happen.
But the people on the ground are making it difficult. So, for example, the contract agreements that we have with Russia have to get renewed every so often. And the current agreement that we have runs through 2024, and the U.S. has already said that they've already got plans to renew that to 2030. That's already going through, but Roscosmos, which is the Russian version of NASA, they have not renewed past 2024, and they haven't stated whether or not they're going to. And the reason that that's a problem is because whereas there are private space stations being planned to go up, that's not going to happen until 2027 at the earliest. And so there's going to be this gap of time where nothing's going to be, we're not going to be able to do anything in space, or at least, you know, in low Earth orbit with the space station. And there's a lot of science that goes on up there, a lot of important science. There's been lots of discoveries that have been made, like medical research is done up there. Actually, we've made some drug developments because you can analyze protein crystals and stuff like that and grow them and look at them in zero gravity. We've made advancements in understanding muscle atrophy and bone loss, which has made it possible for us to understand how that happens in a different way so that we could help people down on Earth. But there's other things like, did you know that the International Space Station, the fact that they can see the Earth from up there, they've been used to help in disaster response for certain type of like major natural disasters, because they can see.
They can everything. See what's going on. Yeah. No, that's a cool thing. I'm not suggesting that they're even thinking about this, but does Russia have the missile capability to like bomb the ISS? Not that they would, but
so that's a really good question. And this came up not too long ago because there was, and I'm going to forget a lot of the details, so I'm going to try not to make them up. But there was a satellite that was coming out of that was struck by a missile in orbit. I think we talked about it on the show, and a bunch of debris got flown around, and the ISS had to move the ISS in order to avoid it. So they clearly do have the capability, and Russia straight up said at that time the reason they shot down this defunct satellite with a missile was because they were testing military ability to shoot down things in space because of, you know, our presence in space. Like, they said that.
I thought it was China. It was China or Russia? Was it Russia? Was it China? Was it China?
Was it China? Russia? China?
I don't remember. Chat room's not the ultimate source, but they're saying China. I don't know.
I think that's right. That's why I caveat saying I don't remember all the details, but it was China. So, but I guess you have to imagine if China can do that, then it's possible. So I don't know if Russia can do it. But if things stay heated, the head of Roscosmos, or one of the chief guy there, I don't remember what the title is, but his name is Dmitry, what's his name? I've got it somewhere. Dmitry Rogozin. He's been like really out. He's a real loyal Putin guy, right? And he's the head of the Russian NASA, Roscosmos, and he's been really weird about all this stuff and making lots of threatening comments, saying that Biden sanctions against Russia could quote lead to the ISS deorbiting. And that sounded like a very threatening type statement.
Right.
And because there's been talk, he also released this video that was, it was a fake video, but it was made and released to make it look like it was a bunch of footage from the ISS and all this kind of stuff. But it was a video that made it look like the Russians were leaving the ISS, saying goodbye. And then you saw like shots of the ISS looked like they were, the pieces were separating. The Russian part was separating from the US part. And then the US part was slowly descending to Earth. Like, you just got to wonder, what is this guy doing? Like, is this, are these, like, clearly it's a very tense situation. And that's going to impact the way we do business in space or science in space for who knows how long.
The Space Force is still a thing, right? We didn't end that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are they doing anything? They got like a, are they all at the ready? You got some kind of special rocket no one knows about. They're about to fly up there and, you know, pop a cap in someone's ass.
They're launching their, I can't remember the name of the, what are those fighters that were on Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, Vipers. Vipers.
Vipers. Yeah,
they're launching their Vipers.
Vipers are cool, man. Those are cool. They didn't need to they didn't have to be so airplane shaped. It's the only thing that bugged me about them, because you're in space. Mm-hmm. You don't need to look like airplanes.
That's the thing about all sorts of science fiction. I think we talk about The Expanse a lot, right? I think The Expanse has gotten the closest to what I've seen, like realistically depicting how you don't have to concern yourselves with things like that. Like, you know how like in sci-fi, every ship is always oriented in the same plane.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Like the two ships always meet like they're on the same plane instead of, upside down and you're sideways.
You'd have some ship like tilted sideways and another one tilted like 80 degrees askew and then this way, and they would be like, it would not be, you know, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
You're not going to feel any kind of gravitational difference no matter what. So,
well, it's super interesting stuff. I don't, you know, like these tense situations have knock-on effects in lots of ways, right? But I don't think everyone always thinks immediately of the scientific impact that they can have, especially in a modern era where, like you say, we're in cooperation with them on many things. And it doesn't mean that we're working directly with Putin. It means we're working with really smart scientific communities, and there is benefit to that. And that's usually some of the stuff that can bring these countries together after age-long conflicts, cold wars, things like that.
Yeah. But Russia might not care.
They may not care.
If they continue with us, because they've been talking to China, trying to figure out deals with working. China's gearing up to launch their own space station. And so they've been talking with China, and there's, you know, you got to wonder, are they going to work out a deal to be able to work with China on that kind of stuff?
Yeah. What would that? The one thing I didn't want to skip past. Tell me the name of their space agency again, the Russian one.
Roscosmos.
That sounds like a dude, like a stripper guy. Russ Cosmos. Right?
RuPaul's Drag Race contestant, Russ Cosmos.
Russ Cosmos. Hey, Russ, what's going on? I'm Russ Cosmos. I don't know why. This just seems real dumb to me, but I love it, Russ.
Yep.
Anyway, well, all right. Good stuff as always. The best part about our talk is that it doesn't have to end here because Bobby does a show called All Around Science. Hey, Bobby, where is it? What is it? And how do people get it?
Well, the show is called All Around Science, and you get it on podcast places. Just search for All Around Science. We just did an episode talking about sleep and your brain. Not things like why do you sleep? You know, we touched on that a little bit, but because that's jury's still out on that, believe it or not. Nobody really knows what the purpose is. But we talked about specifically what are some of the changes that happen in your brain while you sleep. Your brain actually cleans itself while you're sleeping. And we talked a lot about that. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, very nice.
Runs a wash
diagnostic
cycle.
Like a full body diagnostic.
Your brain defrags overnight.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, I haven't had to defrag a drive in so long. I forgot that it was a thing. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of the dark days of my Windows use. All right. Excellent stuff. Bobby Frankenberger. We'll see you soon. And take care. Bye now.
Bye, guys.
All right. Brian, we've done it. We've done a show.
We have. We've completed it. Achievement unlocked.
Yep.
Show.
We have unlocked this achievement. Let's get out of here. Real quick, though, what was I going to tell people? Oh, just a reminder that Play Retro has moved to Tuesdays for the time being. And that's tonight, this afternoon, 3:30 Mountain Time is when me and Dunaway will be recording that right here at frogpants.tv or twitch.tv/frogpants, however you prefer to go. And you can watch it live. If you don't want to do that, you can get the podcast later. So check that out. That is probably the main thing that will be airing today, I'm thinking. Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's it.
Also, I'll have some more stuff on online about it, but now is a great time to jump in and donate to MS, Bike MS. I will be participating in this year's 150-mile bike ride. Will I do all 150 miles? Well, that's what I've signed up for, so we'll see. Just go to tiny.cc/BikeCoverville2022. That's BikeCoverville2022. So go donate and then email me and let me know a few songs you like, and I will add them to my playlist that I listen to as I'm training and as I do the ride.
Excellent. His sweat will be on your brow. No, it doesn't work that way.
On your hands.
Ew.
My sweat will be on your hands.
Gross. Excellent. Let's get out of here then. Reminder, you guys at home, support us over at patreon.com/TMS. Without you, we can't do it. So please continue to do it if you already do. And if you don't, go read about the reasons why you should. Monthly, weekly, and daily bonus content. Among many other reasons. So go check it out, patreon.com/TMS. Everything else is located at frogpants.com/TMS. And I mean all of it. Links to everything. So go check that out as well if you're confused or want to find something in specific, including old episodes of the show. That'll do it. Brian, hey, why don't you play a song?
I just got joined by a dog and a cat. They just both came into my office and left my office like a meeting just let out.
That's too bad. They didn't come to tell you something and then thought better of it?
No, they came in, they stood there for a second, then turned around and left the room. But it's funny how the two of them did it together. It's adorable.
He's like, he's in here recording. We shouldn't be here right now. And then they turned around.
Yeah, he's recording. Let's ask him when he's done.
Very respectful.
All right. As I mentioned before, it is International Women's Day. And you think of great women internationally like Nellie Sachs and Gertrude Elion and Marie Curie and Betty Strickland. Donna Strickland and Betty Williams. There's five more I need to talk about, and their names are Mel, Emma, Victoria, and Jerry. Those are the five we got to talk about. Sporty, scary, baby, spicy, and absent. Talking about the Spice Girls and a cover of their song Say You'll Be There with a lot of funk involved from the band or from the performer Ben L'Uncle Soul, his album Soul Wash. Here is his cover of Say You'll Be There.
Well, oh. last time that we had this conversation, I decided we should be friends, hey. But now we're going round in circles. Tell me, will this deja vu never end? And now you tell me that you're falling in love. Well, I never ever thought that would be. And this time you're gonna take it easy, throwing far too much emotions at me. But any fool can see they're falling. I'm gonna make you understand. I'm giving you everything, all that joy can bring. Yes, I swear. Yeah, all that I want. Won't you say it with me? If you put two and two together, you will see what our friendship is for. Oh. If you can work this equation, then I guess I'll have to show you the door. There is no need to say you love me. It would be better left than said. I'm giving you everything, all that joy can bring. This I swear, I give you everything. All that I want from you is a promise you will be there. I'm giving you everything.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.